All right, but and welcome to the Loony Witch podcast with me, Kat.
And me, Amy. And today we're not coming to you on the full moon. Mm-hmm. We're coming to you on, I don't even know what, it's almost the full moon. But it's not quite.
The waxing moon,
yes. And the reason we're coming to you a bit earlier is because we wanted to talk to you about Letha, which is on the 21st of June. And that's a little bit before the full moon. So we thought we'd get this one out a bit earlier for you.
Yeah, cracking them out. We did miss time a little bit, really, when you think about it, but I'm blaming the spreadsheet.
Blame the spreadsheet always. And it's fine. You just get two episodes closer together. What a treat.
Yeah, busting them out. Lucky buggers.
So, Kat, we've finally been asked an Instagram question.
Nice.
It does work. I don't need to be paranoid anymore. and Hannah Radcliffe has asked us, since you started, how has your practice as a witch evolved and changed?
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your question, Hannah. Thanks for listening to the show. You are amazing and magic. So actually, my practice has changed very recently since speaking to Mahara. Mahara advised us to look for Awen and to be more immersed in our surroundings as part of our practice rather than doing rituals indoors, more getting in touch with your surroundings and the lakes and the flowers and the fields and the mountains. And I've been doing a lot of that recently. I'm definitely getting back more. Well, not back, but I'm definitely expanding my love of the world around me and appreciating it and being more present. Sorry, that was really rambling.
No, it's a good answer. And it's actually, as you mentioned, like that chat with Mara, I feel a little bit the same about that as well with the practice, especially when it comes to things like ingredients. I've been thinking about when I've seen sort of spells, right, it's recommending me this. Do I need to go buy that, or can I really use something that's on my doorstep?
Yeah.
So I think for me, how it's evolved is I've probably become more chilled with it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Me too. More chilled in the sense of if I don't have something, I don't worry about it so much, or I don't think, oh, I'm going to muck this up. It's very much like a thing for me, and if I feel like it's working, then I'll carry on using that. And the same as when you said about immersing yourself outside, I feel like, although I have an altar and I've got like a mini altar that's next to me, I feel like I'm moving away a little bit from those spaces, and I'll do a little bit of magic in the bath or outside or sitting on my bed. I'm kind of moving away from that like strict location, and I guess that comes into being a bit more chilled with magic as well.
Yeah, I think as well I'm starting to see more of my magic being less about the ritual, more about the moment.
Yeah,
yes. So like when I'm sat in the river, that for me is like a magical rejuvenating moment. When I'm walking through fields or looking at flowers, I feel like my power is coming from a lot more of a natural place, and it's less about I guess the sort of strict rigidness of a ritual, and it's more flowing through me now, I guess.
And that's, I guess that comes from experience and learning, doesn't it? Like you start with like your research and you read about spells and like rituals, and then as your practice like evolves and you engage with other witches, you take that magic from different places. So yeah, I guess we're both saying we're just a bit more chilled with it.
A bit more natural. We're natural witches now, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
It's less about the accoutrements and more about the space, I guess.
Definitely. And I still, you know, I'm still very much, I like collecting stuff. So I very much like collecting like different oils and different flowers and stuff like that. But I am thinking, and you'll see that from what I'm going to share in this episode, I am thinking more about, well, actually, what's in my surrounding that I can take advantage of here? What do I already have that's a suitable replacement, instead of going and spending like money or spending time on finding something else? Which I think is very, very good.
I think in Wales, magic is free.
Yes.
Hmm.
I think that can be anywhere as well.
Yeah.
I think the sunshine helps, doesn't it? I think the sunshine helps you look at the world around you and just think, wow, this is why magic is there. How can you not think magic is there when you see these things and they're so beautiful and mind-blowing?
Yeah, solar energy.
Definitely.
So before I start on my section, I need to issue a retraction from my last episode.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. So since we last did the episode about, what was the one after Beltane? God, I'm such a bad witch.
Welsh witchcraft.
Okay, so when we did the one about Welsh witchcraft, I was very critical of sheep. And now I met an amazing sheep when I was on holiday called Duncan, who I love. Like, he was the cutest thing ever. And yeah, I take back everything I said about sheep. I was wrong.
Wow.
They are cute. Then if you gave me the choice, I still like goats better, but Duncan was a G.
I've seen your pictures of Duncan, and he was very, very cute.
So friendly.
He wasn't your standard sheep, really, was he? He was like a special sheep.
Yeah, he was like, the woman who hosted us, she was hilarious. She turned up to the doorstep of the yurt hammered. She'd driven back through the country lanes, like, hilarious. But yeah, we opened the door of the yurt, and there's just a fucking sheep on the doorstep, like, just looking at me so still. I was just like, wow. I've never seen a sheep just sort of stand still looking at you. He was like some sort of special breed of sheep, but he was a bit of a dud because he had the wrong colouring.
Oh.
So yeah, he was 5 weeks old. He was the same age as the dog, and he was huge.
That's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, it was mad though.
What?
The lady, she said, ever since I got him, I can't eat lamb because he smells like lamb.
And yeah, they do.
And yeah, he does. Duncan did. He smells like lamb, like the meat. And I was like, yeah, lucky I'm vegan. Like,
that's how I feel about goats. They smell like
you did say that, didn't you?
Yeah, I've never eaten one, but that's what it smells like when they cook it.
Yeah. Aww. Crazy. So yeah, that's my retraction.
I was thinking then, what's that serious attraction we've got? And Duncan the sheep.
Yeah, Duncan has changed my opinion on sheep forever. He's amazing. But so today, as Amy said, we're going to be speaking to you about Letha. I mean, we all know what the summer solstice is. Like, we all feel the joy and the energy that the sun brings. But so historically, many agricultural societies have marked the highest point of the summer, as which usually occurs between 21st to the 24th of June. So the summer solstice falls on the 21st of June, but midsummer is actually a different day, depending on whether you go by the Georgian or the Julian calendar, the Roman calendar, basically.
Okay.
But they usually fall around the same time. And it's the time when the sun reaches the zenith and we have the longest day and the shortest night. And the word solstice translates from Latin, and it means for the sun to stand still. And that's because the sun just seems to hang in the sky without moving.
Yeah, it must take longer to reach like its middle point and to set.
Yeah, and like, we can see the trajectory of the sun being marked and recorded by stone circles, just like Stonehenge. Did you watch that BBC documentary about Stonehenge?
No, I haven't. I have been to Stonehenge.
Oh, I've never been.
I went to, there's like a lane next to it and you can go there for free, but I've also been into Stonehenge.
Have you?
Wow. Yeah, on a school trip. Obviously didn't appreciate it as much as then, but I haven't watched a documentary about Stonehenge, so I'll have to check it out.
It's amazing. The stones came from Wales. It's mad. They like found a site in Wales and then they did all this computer stuff and they realized that the stones fit exactly in the holes they found. So they knew that that was where the stones had come from. The blue stones anyway, the rest of the stones got added later.
Well, it, like down the road from there, there's like a bit of a more impressive place, which is Avebury. Yeah. That has a huge stone circle with a little tiny village in the second. And it has a like a burial chamber then further down the road from there, which is really, really interesting. But no, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. So at Stonehenge and other stone circles that follow the solar calendar, so they're orientated to highlight the rising sun on the summer solstice. So when the sun rises, it rises between the stones at focal point.
Okay.
And that happens twice a year. So, you know, come on. Like, this is pretty fucking impressive for Neolithic people, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think I read that there's one in... Yeah, there's a similar one in Ireland, isn't there, as well? Ooh. And again, I think I read that in my book. I could have... made that up, but yeah, there's like a similar one in Ireland that does the same thing, that when the sun rises it hits a certain point.
Yeah, I know there's a burial chamber somewhere that the light reaches the back of it. Oh god, I have to look into it where that one is. And so the doorway is aligned so the light can only get in on the summer and winter solstice, just so cool.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's how ancient society like told the time, knew where our seasons were. It was all based on that ball of like burning fire thousands and hundreds and millions of miles away. Mm. It's how they built everything, couldn't it?
Yeah, they worshipped it.
I think I saw that there's loads of stuff like that, that there's also like a like loads of temples all over the world like dedicated to the sun, and there's one in Machu Picchu as well.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. The humans have worshipped the sun for, yeah, since we formed societies, haven't we? We've just gone, what's that? What's it doing?
Why some days it like there longer and some days it's hardly there at all? Yeah.
Why when we plant our crops at this time, do they not work? But if we plant them at this time, it does work.
We have to thank the previous humans for figuring all that out for us.
Yeah. Has made it easier. Still got some way to go, though.
Yes.
So early Europeans would celebrate the summer solstice by making a huge wheel and setting it on fire and then rolling it down into water. And that was thought to prevent drought, which must be brilliant. I was thinking about this. I was like, I bet that was really fun.
I feel like there's loads and loads of things of us rolling things down hills.
Yeah, humans just love rolling things down hills.
Yeah, it is.
The whole of the Hobbit
fun.
Film is just things going downhill.
Yeah, in Caerphilly they roll a cheese down the hill.
Yeah. And Gloucester?
I think a lot of cheese-based towns do a lot of rolling of cheeses, but yeah, there's loads of stuff like that, isn't there?
Well, I don't know if it was you told me, but somebody told me recently the Cheddar Gorge is called Cheddar Gorge because that's where they used to keep all the cheese in the cave.
Well, Cheddar Town is next to Cheddar Gorge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that's where Wookie Hole is as well. I only know about Cheddar because we pass it to go to our Tangier Festival all the time. But, oh, that makes sense, though, because if it would have kept it cool in all the caves.
Yeah. So you just have caves full of cheese, which is pretty cool.
Smelly caves.
Yeah, very smelly caves. So they would also have hilltop bonfires as a way to honour the space between the earth and the sky. And in some traditions, Leith, there's been a time of battle between the light and the dark. So there's a myth that states that the Oak King rules from the winter solstice until he's defeated by the Holly King at Midsummer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I quite like those traditional pagan-y ones.
Yeah, me too.
And then, so it's a time of energy and inner power and the brightness of the sunshine. Also a good time to spend time in water because it's nice and warm. Ancient myths also state that this is the time when the sun god becomes the lover of the great mother goddess of fertility. And then that brings the earth back to life.
Okay.
Yeah. So magic is thought to be at its highest point at the solstice. So when the sun stands still in the skies, all the normal laws of nature are suspended. And this is orientated and reflected in many of the Neolithic sites and stone circles that we see. And so this year I'm planning to spend Midsummer's Day, or I'm going to see if I can find a stone circle and watch the sunrise from within it on the solstice.
That'll be really, really nice.
Yeah, it'd be lush.
Oh. Having that connection to the land as well and to those stone circle sites.
Oh, I've been doing so much of it recently. I spent so much time in the river. It's been so good for me.
That's the most important thing, isn't it, about doing any of this stuff, is about that it's good for you and it's good for your mental health and it does something for you, isn't it?
And when
exactly, from what Mahara said. I was hoping to go on a run up to, we have like a so behind my house we have a common, and a lot of the mounds there were built by the Romans to practice hilltop battles.
That's cool.
So you see a lot of these mounds that have like flat tops, where they obviously would have had their little sort of base at the top. But when you go further up, there's a Celtic cross from a very old chapel, St. Gladys. And I wanted to run there for sunrise and watch it come up. But wow. It's supposed to be raining. But I'm going to see what the weather is going to do and then hopefully otherwise go ahead with it.
Yeah, the colours of the sunrise and the sunset actually on the solstice is supposed to be amazing just because of the I don't know, I guess the way the light is reflected. I'm not a physicist, so I don't know. But yes, but it's supposed to, I don't think I've ever seen a sunrise on the solstice. So this will be pretty cool.
It'd be very special. Yeah,
definitely. You should definitely do that, babe. Even if it's raining, like, it'll still be beautiful.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it will.
Nice way to spend a Monday morning.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you're going to tell us a little bit about how best to celebrate and some ideas?
Yeah, I've actually got a few different things.
Nice.
That I'll go through. One thing that I read that I thought I would mention here, because I talked about it like a little bit on our last episode, I talked a lot about how the film Midsummer was very much like themed more around Beltane.
Yeah.
But actually it's called Midsummer, and you know, maybe it wasn't at Midsummer, but when I was reading some things, it talked about that actually in sort of Scandinavian countries, their Midsummer practice and rituals is very similar to Beltane.
They have like short, really hot summers there, don't they? Because it goes from like 4 hours of light a day to like 14 hours of light a day, doesn't it? It's very, very extreme.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why you'll see that why it's very like familiar and very similar. So Midsummer is like widely celebrated in Sweden, but it's more akin to what we would call Beltane. But as you said, it's probably because of the temperature and the lag in those northern regions. So I thought I'd just say that as well, just in case you were listening to our Beltane episode and thought, no, the reason why is because of this and this. But yes, that's why it's very similar. So with the bits and pieces I've looked at on celebration
and what you can do. I'll go through your standard sort of things there. So your altar decoration, if you've got an altar and you're into sort of dressing it up, you can use things like yellow candles, summer flowers. So if you've got sunflowers, roses, or any flowers that you can see growing in your garden or in your wildlife.
There's so many colours and flowers and everything's alive right now. Like, your spot for choice.
Yes, exactly. So use what's around you. If you've got anything like a symbol for the sun, you can use that. Any seashells, river stones. If you pass a stream or a river, you can grab stones from the river. A little pot of sand, and also a little pot of water, again from the river or the sea, so they can form part of your like altar decoration. And then in line with that, the colours you're looking at are green, yellows, golds and reds. So anything that you fancy, you can pop on that fits that theme. Again, if you're into crystals and you've got them about, emerald, jade, you can also put a bit of gold on there or sunstone. And then incense wise, you're looking at smells like sandalwood, frankincense, myrrh, if you've got some palo santo, amber, musk and sage. Herbs to have, if you want to again drink some teas, pop them in your bath or use them to decorate your altar. You've got nettle, lavender, thyme, ferns, oak, vervain and fennel. Oak is actually the tree of Letha as well.
The oaking.
Yes, because of the oaking, as you said in your story. So if you want to do something, you just want to show that you're celebrating Letha, you can literally just hang out in nature and enjoy it with friends. You could have a picnic with that and just revel in the beauty of Mother Earth around you while the sun blesses you with its rays. That's it. That's your basic Letha. Enjoy it. Enjoy the sunshine. Enjoy nature. The other things I've got here are if you have particular rituals that you fancy doing and you've got that time to have a bit of practice on this day. So the first thing that you can do, which is quite straightforward, I think, is you can mix sun water. Yeah. I just posted this on our Instagram today. But
it looks beautiful.
It is really pretty, isn't it? But you can leave a jar of water out the night before the sunrise on Letha. And around it, you can use summer flowers. Again, just use what you can find. And crystal-wise, you can use the crystal themes that I mentioned earlier, so like emerald and jade, or again, use the crystals you have that you feel attracted to. And you would sort of arrange that around your jar of water, and you would leave it outside until the sunset, where you then bring it inside, bring your crystals inside. You can leave your flowers as like an offering, and you can then use this water almost in the same way that you would use moon water. You can use it in your sort of teas, in your baths, in your spells, and it will literally just hold all the energy of that, of the sun rays from that day. So as we said, it's the longest day. Think of all the energy that's going to be in that water.
Yeah, it's just like a shot in the arm bath, like.
Yes, exactly.
Energizing and bath.
Yeah, and if you use it as well, if you keep that, as you said, this is moving into the darker half of the year. So this is your like dose of sunshine. You can keep it in the jar, keep it in a dark, you know, dark, cool place, and you can just put little shots in your bath to give you that sun energy.
Yeah, that's a nice idea.
Yeah, to remind you of summer. Now, if you hear book pages, it's because I was very professional this time and I used like little post-it notes to post-it all my things. I know. Look at the effort I made today.
Like a semi-professional now.
I know. Well, I did it whilst I was in work, so not very professional.
Might have to cut that out.
I think only my one colleague listens and she wouldn't say anything, so it's fine. Yeah. So we love a bath as you all know, this spell is a good one to do on Letha, but you can do this one at any time. And it's a ginger root project completion bath spell. So if you have projects, more than one projects, this spell can help you complete them all. So it will like calm your nerves, remove the stress, anxiety, and bring clarity to your task. And it will lift your spirits. So what you would need is a mixing bowl, 1 cup of Epsom salts and 1 cup of pink Himalayan salt. As previously mentioned, Home Bargains is your place to find those things.
Yep.
2 tablespoons of dried chopped ginger root. So again, you can just buy your normal ginger, you know, from the shop or your greengrocer, and you can just dry some out. 1 tablespoon of dried juniper leaf. Now, you will often see juniper berries as like an ingredient, and they're quite easy to come by in your supermarket.
Yeah.
Juniper leaf is not as easy. I found a lot of it on Etsy. When I've been looking at replacements to make it easier, you could use pine. It's the same sort of thing as a juniper, so that would be fine.
Juniper trees hard to come by.
I don't think they're sort of hard to come by. I just don't think you see them.
Yeah.
A lot.
I wouldn't even know what one looked like. I need to look that up.
I think they look pretty Christmassy. I could have made this up, but
they're coniferous. The coniferous tree, not deciduous.
I think so. But okay. As I said previously, with any of these ingredients, just look for an alternative. For example, the next ingredient is 10 drops of copal essential oil. Now, I went to look at copal essential oil. It's not the cheapest.
Copal?
Not quite sure. It's not the cheapest essential oil out there, but a replacement is frankincense essential oil, which is much easier to come by. And you probably most likely got that over the other one. And then you've got 10 drops of ylang ylang essential oil. So all you would do is sort of combine all these ingredients in a bowl. It will make more than what you need. So then you can add 1 cup of this blend to your bath before you start work on the project. So for example, you're doing this before you start. And then the rest of the ingredients, you can just store away for the next time you need it.
Nice.
So that's the bath. We all like a bath.
Yeah.
Now, what else do we all like?
Eating.
We like there's eating. I don't have an eating spell. But, you know, I've never met anybody that doesn't like a nap.
I don't nap.
You don't nap?
I don't nap. I cannot sleep during the day. My sleep pattern is high maintenance.
I don't have the opportunity to nap anymore, but I do like a nap. And this is a ritual for a midsummer nap to charge your own energy.
Solstice siesta.
Yeah, exactly. In the golden light of the most powerful sun of the year.
I would get burnt.
Well, actually, one of the things you'll need is SPF for this. So this probably seems like a really long list of ingredients. It's not hugely long when you look at it, but it sounds wonderful. Unfortunately, if it is raining, it's probably not going to work. But if you've got a lovely day, then this is going to be amazing. The materials you need are dried lavender buds, dried chamomile flowers, 1 lemon. If you've got a sprig of lavender, amazing. Witch hazel, water, and lavender essential oil. You will then need freshly picked summer flowers. Now, it suggests some flowers here. However, for me, I would go and pick what's in my garden at the moment. So you've got calendulas, which I have planted and they haven't come out yet. Chamomile, which I've got. Clovers, daisies, lavenders and sunflowers. And my sunflowers haven't come out yet. So just pick what you have and just get a bunch of them and you've got them all ready to go. You'll then need like a reusable tea bag or infuser. And like a mister bottle. So you know, if you had like one of those lovely refreshing facial mists, an empty bottle of one of those, a cup, a blanket, a pillow, SPF, a label if you want it, and a writing instrument. Mm. So that sounds all very complicated, but it's not complicated, I assure you. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to craft the tea blend. So in your infuser, you're going to pop the lavender buds, the chamomile, and then you're going to pour the hot water into the cup with the infuser and let that steep for 5-10 minutes. And then you would place a lemon slice on the surface.
Ooh.
How delightful does that
sound? Very fancy, yeah.
And then you're going to craft your mist. So your like lavender spray. So in the little bottle, you're going to add your water, your witch hazel, your lavender essential oil, and the drop, the sprig of lavender. And then you're going to screw it up, label it, and write what it is. And again, you're just going to mix it together, and you can store that in a dark place when not in use. And obviously, you can use it more than this one time. The reason why you're going to need your SPF is you are going to lie outside. So you're going to dose yourself up in your SPF, or you're going to cover your skin, and you're going to lay the blanket and pillow out on a grassy area in the glow of the midsummer sun. And you're going to spray them with that lavender spray that you've just made.
Yeah. I do enjoy a lavender pillow spray.
Lovely. And you're going to sit down on the blanket and you're going to drink your tea. And as you drink your tea, you're going to meditate on a sigil for charging your energy. So this could be a sun containing your initials, or perhaps a pentagram with a letter encircled by the letters in your name. So you would need to sort of write this down, or in your mind you've got that sigil that you're working with. And once you finish your tea, this is the bit that I love, and I just think it sounds lovely, but I can see me mucking all this up. Using the flowers that you have gathered, you're going to arrange them into your sigil somewhere on your skin. So, for example, if your sigil is the pentagram, you're going to sort of arrange a pentagram using the flowers on your skin. It recommends your stomach. So located about 2 inches above your belly button is the chakra. Yes, for your personal power. So we'd recommend you would arrange that here. If this proves difficult, you can enlist a trusted partner to assist you. So not a non-trusted partner. You have to trust them to be able to do this for you, okay? You're then going to lay your head down on this pillow, and you're going to close your eyes, and you're going to visualize those rays from the sun charging your sigil, and that energy entering through your solar plexus and radiating through your entire body. You're going to breathe in the smells and, you know, feel those soothing, calming vibrations and lull your body and mind into sleep. If you're unable to fall asleep, that's perfectly fine. As Kat said, she can't nap. You would just lie here in meditation for as long as you like until you feel recharged. Upon awakening, you would blow the flower sigil off your body into the wind.
That's nice.
And the magic of it is now inside of you, and you no longer need the physical remnants. How lovely does this
sound?
That's
lush. That's a lush ritual.
I really want to do it. So I'm hoping it's sunny so I can have this lovely nap. I'm going to share this on our Instagram, and I'm very excited to make the photo for it.
Yeah, you're going to have to get Dave involved to lay the flowers maybe, but definitely to take pictures.
Yes, he will need to be a trusted partner for the day.
Yeah. Thank you, Great Wizard Dave.
So yeah, I've got a few, as I said, I found loads of stuff for Aletha, and there's loads of stuff on Instagram that I didn't even write down. So I will share those, but I've got a few other bits and pieces. So hopefully you're not all bored of hearing my voice by now. So over the sort of last couple of episodes, we've talked about like portals and sort of that link to the other realm, you know, through the Fae, and the thinning of that veil. So this is an oak tree portal sort of spell. So the Celtic tree of life forms an interwoven circle between the oak's outstretched branches and its widespread roots. And this symbol is the symbol of balance and harmony, and it represents the link between earthly realm and the other world. As we said, the oak tree is sort of the sacred magical tree of Luther. And during Beltane and Midsummer sort of celebrations, you know, as Kat mentioned, the oak king
reigns supreme.
Yeah, he reigns supreme on there. So this is another sort of thing you can do. Again, it has a few ingredients in it. So again, look up online alternatives to it.
Yeah.
So you need to find an oak tree, and you'll need a few slivers of the oak tree bark. I've got loads of oak trees close to me, so I'm quite lucky.
Yeah, loads. I was swimming under one today, funny enough.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it was lush.
You need some olive oil, 5 drops of patchouli essential oil, some sandalwood essential oil, vanilla essential oil, and a glass like bottle with a dropper cap. Now, again, Amy tip for you. If you are into your skincare, you'll notice that a lot of sort of skincare things come in those little droppers now. And I save all those bottles now because I think they're quite handy for things like little potions. So if you use anything like hyaluronic acid or The Ordinary and stuff and all that fancy stuff, well, not that it's fancy really, but you can save those little bottles. So that's the kind of bottle I'm on about here.
Brilliant tip, babes.
I have loads of them at the moment. They're all empty. Yeah. So to craft the sacred oak anointing oil, you're going to fill your glass bottle with the olive oil and the drop, and drop the oak bark into it. You're then going to add your patchouli and sandalwood oils and your essential oil, your vanilla essential oil, sorry. They're all known as like plant allies, and they're known to transport the protected spirit into the other realms. Again, you would store this once made up in a cool, dark place. At sundown on Midsummer's Day or on Letha, you would find an oak tree in which you feel a connection. You would anoint your left hand, the hand associated with otherworldly magic. So, you know, we've all heard like that if you're left-handed, it's the sign of the devil. It's because they would say the left hand is connected to the other realm rather than your right hand.
Left-hand path magic.
Exactly, yeah. And you're going to pop the sacred oil that you've made on there, like 3 dots on the palm, and you're going to massage it in the Windishin's direction. So Windishin's is clockwise.
Widdershins is clockwise. Deosil is clockwise. Widdershins is anti-clockwise.
Cool, thank you. So
Widdershins is the fun one.
Yeah, so anti-clockwise, you're going to massage this into your palm of your hand. You're then going to touch the palm of your hand to the oak tree and feel its power and wisdom entering your body as your energies mix. There is then a chant. So maybe you find your tree in a quieter place. Then you don't
chant really loud. Chant really loud next to the main road. Just be like, thank you, oak tree.
See how many people stop and ask you what you're doing. So you would chant, at midsummer's close, guide me through the seasons of shadow. And as you do, you're going to visualize the mark becoming a portal to the next season. So as you are pulled through the portal, you remember that the oak tree will keep you safe as it guides you through the darker half of the year. And when you're safely on the other side of the gate, where you take your hand off the oak tree and you thank it for guiding you with such wisdom and strength and welcome the darker half of the year.
And then you hug the tree.
And then you hug the tree. That can be form part of your thank you, really, can't it?
Ask consent first, though.
Always ask consent of your trees. I guess that's part of feeling the connection with the tree.
Yeah. It's got to be reciprocal energy going on with the tree.
Yeah, definitely. I've got another one here. Now, this I don't think this is a strange one. It's just a very different one. I don't know if this is something that I would be attracted to, but I'm going to share it because others may be attracted to it. And this is called a serpent's egg amulet. And this will protect you against psychic attack and hexes. So the Druids believed that as serpents rife together in coitus, they formed a classy word.
I didn't know we were going to be talking about sex. Amazing. Sorry, my interest just suddenly peaked. I was like, what?
Snake sex.
Snake jazz.
So they believed that as they like river together in the coitus, they formed like a foam ball called the ovium anigium, or serpent's egg. A druid who caught the serpent's egg in the air and escaped the serpent by crossing a river or a stream on a horse will hold it in their hand, the power to transform energy.
What? Snake?
So basically, they believe that they formed it, they formed this like sort of ball that they called like the serpent's egg. And if the druid caught the egg and he ran across a river or a stream on a horse, and he would hold it in the hand, and the power to transform energy would be theirs.
So you've got to watch two snakes fuck until they jizz, catch it, get on a horse, ride across a river.
I don't know if this is jizz.
Babe, apart from an egg, like an actual egg, nothing else comes out of a snake apart from jizz and shit, is it?
I know, but I think it's kind
of
like...
Do we have snakes?
I think it's kind of like a made-up, like a foam ball. I don't think cum forms into a ball. I also think it would slip through your fingers.
I don't know what, we're going to have to look a bit more into this because I'm very intrigued now. We'll have to ask Mara. Mara knows druids. Like, guys catch snake jizz and run with it?
Well, these things are also known as druid eggs or snake stones. And they were used, although not always successfully, to protect people against like lawsuits. And while true serpent eggs... So while true serpent eggs might be hard to come by, we can concentrate stones that resemble the eggs of law. So in some traditions, hag stones or adder stones are used in a similar way to protect against psychic attacks and repel curses. So we're not going to go looking for snakes, and we're definitely not going to catch them doing the deed.
Doing the nasty.
But we're going to do something that can kind of like replicate it in a way.
Good.
So, and also this is a good one because it does in fact like bring you close to like nature, so what we talked about like with Mara as well. So you would comb a beach or a riverbank for a small oval shaped stone, so that is banded or serpent like so similar to like granite or marble. So you want it to have like, you know, some pattern lines. And you could also seek out a hag stone, a stone that has had natural hole worn through it by water.
Is that what a hag stone is?
It is, yes.
I'm learning so much today.
So you would have a glass jar with you. And what you're going to do is you're going to collect water from the fresh source on Midsummer's Day. So if you've just found this stone by a river or by the sea, you're going to collect some of the water. And you're going to cleanse and charge your serpent's egg by dipping a finger from your left hand into the sacred water and massaging it into the egg or stone that we're pretending is an egg. And you, as you perform this, it's cleansing and charging the egg. And you can do this if you keep the water, you can do this anytime and recharge it if you feel like it's lost its luster and you're getting psychic attacks or you're feeling some hexes. Again, you can put all this in, you know, storage. You would keep this sort of stone in your left pocket to shield you from negative energy.
Nice.
A different one.
Yeah, I'm gonna be looking for hag stones on my way now that I know where they are.
Yeah, like you know now, don't you?
Hag stone, snake jizz. What did you call it? The ovum snaky jizzus. What was it?
They didn't call it the snaky jizzus.
They said ovum something, didn't you?
Oven is called the ovum and nigneum.
Okay.
So a bit of a an interesting one.
Yeah. I think a little about the druids. I'm very intrigued.
I found that in this section, I think I've talked about this book before, but it's called The Witch's Wheel of the Year by Anu Kiernan. And it's obviously goes through every sort of bit in the Wheel of the Year. And I find it just really interesting because it does go into a bit of the history and it kind of breaks it down into Greek, Celtic and Roman and any other sort of parts of the world or old cultures that would have celebrated these holidays, and it gives you a bit of information about them. And there did seem to be a lot more mentions to druids in the Letha section. So yeah, we need to, this shows that we need to learn a bit more. Maybe as we go on, we'll find out a bit more.
I would love to do an episode on the druids because the story about the last stand of the druids is very, very interesting.
Oh.
About when they went to Holyhead and the Romans murked them. Spoiler alert.
You're going to ruin the episode.
No, I'm sorry. I've ruined the end of the story already.
Okay. I have a few more. Not that many more. Don't worry. If you are celebrating it outside in Letha, as Kat said, they celebrated a bonfire. So again, if you can have a bonfire, amazing, great way to celebrate. You can use some herbs to cast protection and burn them on the fire. So again, this meant we're talking about the druids here. So the herbs that the ancient druids picked on the Midsummer's Day were thought to be blessed with the peak power of the sun and the element of fire. Which imparted the qualities of strength, healing, manifestation, vitality and protection. So they've gone out into their gardens, they've gone out into the wild and they've picked these herbs there and then on the day. And they're all charged with that sunlight. So again, part of this would be in effect foraging or going into your own garden and finding these herbs that you can use to burn. So on the solstice, you're going to pick a small bundle of these flowers and herbs. And ideally, you're looking for the ones that I've mentioned previously. So we're looking at ones associated with the fire element. So we've got calendulas, chamomile, mint, mugwort, rosemary, stinging nettles, sunflower, thyme, verbena, but use whatever comes natural to you. If you're looking at flowers, think of, you know, the sun and flames. We're looking at yellow, orange or reds. I love buttercups so much.
There's so many flowers around at the moment, honestly. I've seen so many. I was in the water earlier and there was this pond weed growing and had these tiny little white flowers all over it. It was so gorgeous. Beautiful. They're just everywhere. And then these big gerberas and then loads of little like cow parsley. What are they called? Cowslips?
Yeah.
Just flowers everywhere, you know? It's a bonanza right now.
Oh, I know. My garden's, well, we're slowly getting there. So my thyme started to flower today and it's got little pink flowers, but I've also got pink ripple thyme that has bigger pink flowers that I'm waiting to flower. My nasturtiums have come through and my marigolds. And there's buds on everything else, but we're so close. I've got a Welsh poppy that's yellow flowers and they're small. So we're very, very close for the rest flowering and I can't wait. Otherwise, I would be picking all of those to use in these spells, but I just don't have them at the moment.
Just go on the meadow and pick what's there. Pick daisies. Daisies are a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
There's violets everywhere.
I've got plenty of daisies, things like that. So those are definitely what I'll be picking. Once you have these, you're going to pick off all the leaves off the stems and the flowers off the stems as well. You can place them all in a small gold or bronze vessel or a glass jar. Not many of us all have a gold and bronze pot.
Yeah, I'll just go get my bronze bowl out. Yeah.
Exactly. So just use a glass jar And then when you have the fire, you would cast the herbs into the flames as you petition blessings such as cleanse my energy, protect my magic, bless my spirit. If you would like, you could offer a handful to the midsummer deity, saying something such as, I offer to you the king of oat gratitude and bountiful season. So this one's quite a like straightforward one you can do with people if you're planning to feast or you're planning just to watch the sunset and have a fire. This is a really nice sort of straightforward one to do. And again, if you are foraging and you're looking for these things, it's getting you to go out and about in nature on that day.
So lush.
Yes, that's why I think I like about this one so far is a lot of the bits and pieces are encouraging you to go outside and be at one and look around you and see what's happened in the last like couple of weeks, because it's amazing how quickly your surroundings can change in this weather.
Yeah, and I feel like with the winter solstice, you're like, look after yourself, just keep holding on, just hold on. And then you get to Imbolc, you're like, hold on, just hold on, it's coming. And you know, you then get to like Ostara and you're like nearly there, and then you get to this point, it's just like party time. Like, this is what we've been waiting for.
Exactly. And you just don't want to wish it away, do you? No. I'm really guilty of like wishing time away. I think we're all like it at the moment because of the world we're currently living in. But a lot of these are getting you to embrace what's around you, which is what is really appealing to me.
Be mindful, just sit in the water, watch the light dancing across it, and just breathe deep and just be there.
Oh, yeah. I'm already relaxed thinking about it. So this is a summer solstice sunrise spell. So you'll need 3 yellow candles, a pinch of patchouli. I think it's talking about potpourri or like resin here, but you can use essential oil, a pinch of dried marigold leaves, a pinch of dried rose petals, a pinch of cinnamon, 5 cloves, a pen and paper, and a mortar and pestle. So once the sun has begun to rise, you would light the yellow candle and blend the ingredients with a mortar and pestle in a clockwise direction. Once it's blended, you will need to burn it on a hot charcoal disc. Hot charcoal discs are easily found, and what you do is you put a hot charcoal disc in a fireproof bowl, cauldron, whatever you have, and you light it, and it will like spark and it becomes very, very hot. You would then write down the things that you're grateful for in your life. So all your abundances, your personal successes, your loves, and what inspires you. And this will act as a cosmic record achievement, reminding you of all your spiritual successes that you have to go through winter. And you're going to cleanse that using your essential sort of incense you've made. So all those ingredients that you've blended together, you're going to pop that on top of your charcoal disc. And it's going to raise this amazing smell and amazing sort of cleansing energy when you are thinking about all these positive things. So there's that.
That's beautiful. I've not used the hot charcoal discs yet. I'm a little bit afraid of them. I'm not good with the fire safety.
They get very, very hot. I was really surprised at how long they burn for as well when I've used them.
Yeah, when we used to have the shisha, Kel used to pick them up with her bloody hands and give me screaming ab dabs.
Do not do that, everybody.
No, do not do that.
They are very, very, very hot, but they are really good. And if you are into sort of potion making and mixing herbs and stuff together, then it's a nice one to do to like build your own incense. And, you know, you can increase quantities and you can keep them in storage. And yeah, then they last a long time. So if you're into sort of making bits and pieces, I think they're quite nice to do. But I don't use them a whole lot. I tend to only use them if something calls for them. But be very careful. Read some guides about them. Now,
be very careful with the hot coals.
Yes, definitely. I've got one last thing. I am ending with a bang.
Nice.
I hope. Ending in the bang in the sense of, this is a I would say a big ritual. Mm-hmm. I think this one takes effort, but it's very nice. And this is linked a lot to green witchery. And this is a summer garden blessing ritual. So if you are very into your garden, you've got a lot of items growing, this is for you. And it has an element of play to it, which is what I enjoy, an element of creativity. So the ingredients are, well, not ingredients, the things you would need is you need like a wand or a staff. Now, a lot in green witchery, you're recommended to have like a staff, like to have a stick. Now, we're not talking about something you buy that's like carved to look like Gandalf staff on like from Etsy. This is almost like when you go walking and you find a staff and you find a stick.
Oh yeah, what do they call them? Elle's got one. Oh, I can't remember the term for it now, but there's a term for one. You yeet or something. I can't remember. It's gone from my head.
Yeah, and it's something that in green witchery,
it's a stang.
Ah, no, a stang is the next thing you need.
Ah.
Now, a stang is a forked staff or a forked stick. So if you think of a stick almost in a Y shape, that's what a stang is. Now, you would need one of those early as well. So again, we've got an element of foraging here. We're looking for a stick in a certain shape. So you need your wand or your staff. A lot of people have like things like selenite wands now, so you could use that.
I've got them.
Yes, you've got them.
I struggle with myself so hard not to stick it up my ass. Like, no, it will kill me. But it's so pretty.
Yeah, you don't want it to smash inside you or anything.
No, it's poisonous. It'll kill you.
Oh, will it?
It's water soluble and poisonous. So yeah, don't put it in your mouth. Do not eat selenite.
I bet a lot of people have done that.
Or put up your eye.
You also need 12 flowers. Now, again, as we talked about, you know, we're talking about wildflowers, what they would call weeds. You need the stems to be fairly long on them. And also here, we're not looking for you to go buy in flowers. This takes out kind of the purpose of this ritual. You would also then need 12 leaves. Again, you're looking for leaves that have stems with them that are firm and quite long. You would need a knife or a scissors and a pitcher, a bowl, or a cup or a watering can full of water. There are quite a few steps to this one. So as I said, this is like, you know, this is if you're
big magic.
Yeah, if you're a green witch, this is your spell for the solstice. This is kind of like the thing you're doing. So with your wand or your staff in your hand, you're going to circle around or walk through your garden, and you're going to hold the wand or staff in front of you. It's based close to the ground, and you're going to visualize the life and energy as it rises up from the soil through the plant roots to nourish the stems and leaves and flowers and fruit. So you're imagining that, you know, this plant's taking that, you know, energy through to their leaves. And then you're going to circle and walk through the garden a second time, still holding your wand or staff. But this time, you're going to raise it higher so that the tip reaches into the sky. And this time, you're going to visualize the energy of the sun and the rain nourishing your plants from above. You're going to circle and walk through your garden a third time now, holding the wand or staff horizontally. And you're going to visualize the energy of each individual plant expanding to join with the other plants around it, forming the whole of your garden. You're then going to lay down your wand or staff in front of your chosen place to do your offering. So you need a place in your garden where you're going to conduct the rest of this ritual. And you're going to take the stang and you're going to insert the single end, so sort of the bottom of the Y, firmly into the earth and have the fork end standing upright and stable. And you're going to sit and kneel in front of this stang, and you're going to start taking your flowers. Now, if you've made a daisy chain before or a dandelion chain.
I make them all the time.
This is what you're going to do with your flowers. So the technique of when you make a flower chain is you make like a small incision, you make a small hole, they've recommended you can use a knife or a scissors here, but if
I use my thumbnail.
Yes. I think here they're thinking you've got bigger flowers, but for me, daisies would be absolutely fine. And you're going to make these little holes and then you thread the next flower through and you make the chain. And you're going to do that with all 12 flowers. You're then going to hang the flower chain on the stang by laying each end over one end of the branches, so that the middle of the chain forms a gentle, you know, sort of swag. So you're sort of going to hang it over there. And you're going to do the same thing with the leaves. Now, I've never made a leaf chain before.
No, me neither.
But it's the same concept. You're making a small hole sort of in the twiggy bit.
That's a nice idea. I might try that.
Yeah. And again, you're going to hang this on your stang in the same place as you have the daisy chain. Once you've got them both there, you're going to lay both your hands on the chains and say, power of the wind and earth, power of the suns and rain, by tree and flower and leaf, with my hands and heart, I bless this garden with life and love. You can take your pitcher or your bowl or your watering can of water, and you're going to walk back through your garden and you're going to gently sprinkle drops of water throughout, keeping some water back. You return to the stang and you pour the last of the water at its base where it has been thrust into the ground and say, I give thanks to the earth for its bounty, its protection and its support. Blessed be the earth and those who walk upon it. Now, if you like, you can stay by your stang and you can meditate for a while or simply just enjoy being in your garden. You can also do things like weed and work on the soil and thin out some plants or do whatever gardening needs to be done. And you would just leave the chains on the stang for at least a day or as long as you feel like leaving them, really, and remove when they have wilted, but do not throw them out. Add them to your compost pile. And that's that spell. That's the last one I had to share.
That's a nice one.
It is really nice, isn't it? I think, again, it's like a bit of effort in this one, in a sense. But if you are into your garden and your garden magic, then I think this is a really sort of beneficial one to do. At the moment, you could be like me with your garden and you can see that things are starting to get there. Like my strawberries are huge, but they're not red yet. I can see that my poppies and my calendulas and my sunflowers, they're growing so tall and so big, but my flowers not there yet. So this is something, you know, I can do to sort of honour all the work that all those plants have done so far, help them get to the next stage.
That's beautiful. Oh, I love this time of year.
Leaf is a really nice. Well. Yeah, me too. I think this one so far in the episodes we've done has been one of my favorites. I really loved Ostara and I was really into it, and on the day I did lots for Ostara as well, but this one I just think, yeah, it's just more, I don't know, to me it feels more magical.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful time. I'm so excited for it to like go away, and like it's gonna be 4 days of just being out in the woods and the lakes and the waterfalls in the forests. Oh, it's gonna be amazing.
Oh no, it's gonna be really good for your soul, I can tell already.
Yeah, I'm gonna see so many stars, Ames.
Oh yeah, when there's no light around and you see all those stars, it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, have fires. Yeah, definitely going back to basics. Could be the best solstice ever.
Yeah, I love, oh, I know lots of people hate it when they sit around a fire and they smell a fire, but I love what's smelling wrong a with fire.
Who's like, oh, I don't like smoke, like get a grip.
Yeah, they're like, my hair smells of fire. And I was like, oh, I love that smell so much.
Or like the people that are like, oh, there's no facilities. Like, what facilities do you need? Like...
I think we just live in a, you know, we all have things that we enjoy now. And whilst I love, you know, I love camping, I love being outside, there are definitely home comforts of the modern world that I truly do enjoy.
Yeah, but it's nice to have a little look at the other side as well, isn't it?
Definitely. And I think it's very important to do so and to get out there and to, yeah, just enjoy being outside. We had like a family sports day on Sunday.
Aww.
And we just all went into the field. Like my brother and I put up a gazebo and we had a picnic and we played cricket and rounders.
I love rounders.
And we played pools and we were just all together as a family in the sunshine, enjoying each other's company all outside. And I just think that is, if you can take anything away from the pandemic, you know, it used to be I would beg for them to open nightclubs, and this, as much as I still want that to happen and how I wanted them to open up houses and stuff like that, the fact that you can just see people outside in that and that you all have to make that effort to be outside instead of maybe sitting in the house is one of the best things that's come out of it.
Nothing like sticking your toes in the grass.
Oh, definitely. It's one of the things that me and Thomas always do in our garden. I always take our shoes and socks off. And I know like some people are like, oh, what if you stand in something? I'm like, no, that's what I remember as a child, like running through your garden without your shoes on and feeling it all in between your toes. Lovely.
Summer.
Right. Is it time to draw a card?
It is. I love our jingle. I love it.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Right, we're going to play the jingle now.
Play the jingle.
Do you want to go first or shall I?
You go first for once.
So I got the Five of Wands.
Oh, I think that's a great card.
I don't know. I feel like it's a conflict card.
Oh, no.
Let's have a look. I'm judging the card before I've read it a minute. Right, Five of Wands. Competition, confusion, lack of direction. Unnecessary drama and fighting for no reason. Oh, God.
Oh, Kat.
I'll be fine. At least I know it's coming. I'll just go sit in the river and not participate.
Yeah, just ignore it. Just ignore it.
What did you get?
I got the Three of Swords.
Nice. Let's have a look for you. Oh.
Yeah, stab it through a heart, so I don't think it's very good.
Yeah, heartbreak, sadness, hurt. The card of heartbreak, warning, romantic entanglements will end in pain. But it doesn't just mean that, though.
Come on, tell me a bit more then.
Well, no, that's all that's written in the back.
Oh, but... no.
But yeah, there's got to be other deeper meanings that we're not privy to at our basic level.
I
think we should draw another card because we got fucking bullshit.
No, we can't lie. We can't lie about.
No,
our
I
cards.
Just want to draw another one just to end on a happy note. Like, we'll do another one. We'll do a three card spread. All right.
Okay. So
pick up the next two cards in your. So don't shuffle them anymore. Just pick up the next two you get. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Right. What did you get?
So I got the Page of Swords.
Okay.
And then I got the Tower.
Oh, fuck's sake, Sam. So, Page of Swords, a keen observer, notices everything, both insightful and logical. So thoughtful, pensive, insightful and honest.
So I'm going to have heartbreak, but is it going to be because I've seen something, you know?
Maybe. What was the third one again?
The Tower. Oh, babe, you're in trouble. I'm just going to tell you this now.
Yeah. Sorry, Dave. The cards don't lie. Okay. Create a strong foundation before rebuilding. Everything falling apart so it can come back together.
Oh, what is wrong with my cards at the minute?
I don't know.
This is not helping my severe issues in my mind, you know, when I draw cards like this. This is just only making it worse.
I know.
What did I draw the other day? I decided to draw a card for me and I was like, right. Oh, I think it's for the new moon. I did a bit of a new moon ritual, drew cards. And it was quite interesting. It was the Five of Pentacles upside down, which is about a lack of like money,
but also a lack of spiritual
wealth
as well. And I was like, bloody hell, what if I draw one more card like this, I'm gonna snap. So then that's not good, so I need to focus on not getting hurt then.
Well, yeah, just embrace what comes, isn't it?
Oh gosh,
get ready.
I'm gonna go downstairs now and tell Dave, well, I think we're getting divorced.
Oh, so. No. Don't, because you blame me, but like, fucking cat with a fucking tarot card.
What were the other cards that you drew?
So I drew the Four of Wands, the party card.
Yeah.
So manifestation, celebration, joy, harmony. So take time to celebrate your achievement and loved ones and recognize your part in their success. Oh no, their part in your success. So recognize other people making me successful. And then I got the Knight of Wands, which is a person filled with drive, knowing how to balance emotions while being in tune with their intuition. So fearless, confident, charming, and adventurous.
Ooh.
I know a man like that.
So you're going to be in an argument with people, but you're going to go over it pretty fast.
I feel like, yeah. Yeah. And then we're going to have fun. So that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll just know, like, not to, like, if things are getting a bit tense, I'm just going to walk away and go sit in the river. Until it all blows over.
I think that's what tarot does. It can just make you think, right, this is something I need to, like, look out for.
Yeah, I need to watch out for this.
It was quite interesting. Obviously, I'm quite new to tarot in the sense of I only tend to draw like one card, sometimes two or three, but I tried to do a spread and like ask questions of each one.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm not obviously that knowledgeable about it, I was really like
you're learning.
I was really trying to look at the cards, look at the question, and like marry them together.
Yeah,
you know, when you're like trying to make sense, and I was like, maybe this means this and this and this, and, like, you know, when you're trying to convince yourself.
Intuitive.
I was trying to convince myself. I was like, that makes sense.
And it is a self-reflective exercise as well, isn't it? You know.
Yes. You
like,
know.
I feel like I pulled that card because I'm fearful. Fearful. Going away with someone for the first time, you know, there's propensity for there to be issues. Like, I think that's my fear manifesting itself.
Yeah.
And it's going, yes, you're worried. So it couldn't be like, oh, that's going to happen. It could be, you're worried about this. This is on your mind. Because it's like a self-reflective exercise rather than prophetic.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, when I drew the card like last week about the lack of spiritual wealth,
mm-hmm.
you know, whilst I could look at the money thing and think, oh, there isn't like amazing amount of money in my bank account, I really did look at the spiritual wealth thing and think, oh, actually my cup isn't full. Whereas this weekend, you know, I saw family,
mm-hmm.
I saw a local witch that I've met who has a little daughter, they came to the garden, and so that helped fill that cup, because I knew through the cards that, oh, actually my cup is empty. Whereas now I would need to go downstairs and say to Dave, you're going to break my heart and I'm going to have to rebuild it, so we need to stop that from happening, because I don't want to do that.
Oh, that was amazing, babes.
Amazing. Thanks for listening, everyone. Again, we're getting loads of support. I told Kat the other day that we're very close to 500 listens.
Amazing.
Which in 6 months for a brand new podcast that only releases really once a month.
Fantastic.
Is mind-boggling. We hope you enjoyed our mini-sode, and we're hoping to do another mini-sode.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're enjoying it, and we hope that you are too.
And we hope you have an amazing summer solstice, because we are going to have a fucking brilliant one.
It's going to be beautiful.
Solar powered.
We're your SPF, don't burn.
Yeah. Take care. Don't go jumping into reservoirs. Check it out first.
Bless be.
Bye, guys.